$100,000 item. We have two choices here, three choices. We can approve it, we can disapprove it, or we can send it back to be rebid.
I understand that.
In order to make that decision, I need answers to the question that I'm asking, because in my mind, I need to make sure that I'm comfortable the value of that building is $600,000. You guys all want to go ahead and just go ahead and vote and stamp on this and potentially leave money on the table. That's up to you. But in the meantime, I want to have my opportunity to ask the questions so that I'm comfortable with this bid.
And again, the property went out for bid. The expectation of what's going to be put there has not been submitted. So that we are being told what the plans might be, but the director has already made it clear he is not 100% sure. So we are voting on someone who went out to bid. It's the same thing if I go to an antique car show and I bid on a car and the person approves the bid, and then all of a sudden someone else says, well, wait a minute, the reserve is lifted, and now all of a sudden someone else has another crack and they can say, no, you're not good enough, you can't buy it. The whole process was done. It's $600,000 that this person bought it for, fair and square. And I have no problem with that. And what they're going to put there is the next step. It's not this step. It's the next step.
It has everything to do with the value of the property. And that's what I am asking questions for. I want to know if you let me. I have the floor. And I want to continue asking my questions.
Well, okay? I agree you have the floor. But I want to redirect and say that the council president, who is the person that represents the ward this property is on, has also done his due diligence and feels comfortable about the bid, which therefore I feel comfortable about the bid. And I think you're going 12 steps ahead when we're merely talking about the sale of a property. Whether you feel the property value is not good enough, it was done through a legal bid process. So what they're gonna do with the property is another step of the process at time. We are talking about the purchasing the process of the due process that was done to bid on the property.
That's
Chairman
fine.
A point of order?
It's apparent that you have made up your mind that you're going to vote on the $600,000. I am asking questions to help me get to a place where I'm comfortable with it. This, by the way, this isn't just a ward-specific item. This is something that affects the entire city. It affects all the taxpayers.
Agreed, but you're going on assumptions, Councilman.
Can I finish, Mr. Chairman?
Councilman, you're repeating yourself. You're going on assumptions.
Please quit interrupting me. These are not assumptions. They're questions. They're questions of fact. They're questions of dollars and cents. That's what I'm asking. And I would appreciate it if you would give me the courtesy of not interrupting. You get the answers to my question. We could have had the answers to these questions 10 minutes ago instead of sitting here going back and forth.
And what I've made my point clear.
The value of the build. What is the taxable value of this building?
I've made my point clear. Mr. Dupuy, you can answer the question that he asked.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer the question factually, the assessment is $1,069,700. However, that is assessed as an office building for a municipality. That is not the highest and best use. That is not what the property would be used for. That is not representative of the fair market value of the property. So a couple other things to consider. We don't want to be holding this building going into the winter with all the extra heating cost and what might happen to the property and, as was mentioned, to secure the building. But more importantly, we need housing. The housing prices are astronomical. The more houses we have, the more that will come down. But that's part of the process. So,
and if this property is developed into condominiums, do you have any idea how many units will go on this property?
No, there's a lot of factors that go into it. We don't have the answers for at this point in time. But I think the $600,000 was a fair offer. We probably could squeak out a little more if it was marketed for a longer period of time and in a different approach. But our holding costs continue to go up, and we could end up losing money in the long run.
I understand that. I understand that. Did you or anyone else in the city get a commercial appraisal on this building, or are you going strictly by the bid value?
No, as it's currently zoned, we could not appraise it as a commercial property.
Did you get a professional appraisal on a residential property.
I'm not sure if the planner did. I was not involved in that process. Again, being a competitive bid, it's more based on what the investors are willing to spend.
I understand that. It's like any other bid that we bid. Bids come to us every month, twice a month, and sometimes we like them, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no, sometimes we say go back out for rebid. This is no different. Just because
it's a revenue item. Because if we market the property, we're going to have commissions to pay. This was the process that the administration chose to go with because it was going to result in a quicker sale for a fair price. And so I'm the only expert in the room regarding real estate value, and I don't see this as a problem. I think we're going to end up losing money if we don't approve this.
Losing money because of?
Well, we'd have to heat the building over the winter. We'd have to secure the building over the winter. You could have problems with the roof, and now you've got bigger problems. Right now, with the $600,000, the investor is going to take care of all the remediation that needs to happen. We don't know that a subsequent buyer would be willing to do that. There's a lot of unknowns. In this, it's a net to the city. If we have to pay a commission to market this property in a different manner, you're going to lose some money from that as well.
And this current building will be demoed? Is that it?
Based on the zoning being residential, they wouldn't have a possibility of using this building as it sits today.
So the building's going to be demoed?
That would be my belief.
I can't tell you, Mr. Lattiser, that I was able to look in the zoning code, and if this developer were to approach you after going to the planning board for one of these PDRs, because it's an A7 district, they can put potentially 12 units per acre. The site's roughly 1.8 acres. So if you back out, you know, stormwater designs and the parking and the access driveway, I'm guessing you're looking from anywhere from maybe 18 to 24 units. I'm just guessing, but that's 12 units per 40,000 square feet, and it's 1.8 acres. You can, you know, go from there, but that's, I assume that's what this developer is ultimately going to come at us with by way of density.
Well, now, Director, thank you for that information. You know, that's something we could have had 15 minutes ago, and that does help me a lot, and it should help everyone else here too, because let's round it out to 20 units, 20 residential units. The median cost of housing right now in the state of Rhode Island is $350,000. That's $7 million. $7 million is going to generate a significant tax revenue in addition to the $600,000. So if the $600,000, you know, maybe it is a little light, maybe it's not. But at least now I have some solid information to make an intelligent, informed decision on whether or not $600,000 is a good value. And I think it was worth having that discussion, at least on this end, for a few minutes.
Excuse me, Councilman.
That's all I have.
Excuse me,
I
Councilman.
Have the tax, the retail, I mean, the appraised value of the property. You've given me 18 to 24 units. I can do the math on what the revenue stream will be to the city, and I'm fine. Now I have my answers. Thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate the council president getting those answers before this evening. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. I understand the council president was talking about it being in Ward 7 and, you know, the thoughts that you had about the meetings. I remember when it was in Ward 6 and a lot of the good times and a lot of events that we've had there. We had many events. Fowls had their chopstick auction there year after year. And we had a lot of good times there. My first impression was, wow, we should be getting a lot more than $600,000. It was right from the beginning. But I'm very excited hearing about the housing. We need the housing. And like Councilman Lattiser said, that's more taxes money that's going to be coming to us. So it's going to be sad when they do knock it down because of all the memories that the seniors had there. And if the housing comes the way they're saying, I think it's going to be a good deal. So I feel a little better than when I sat down before, because I thought we should have got a lot more than $600,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Ricks.
A question for the City Council solicitor. Would it be proper for the city to include stipulations if at the start of the bidding process the city desired to include stipulations on, say, the a number of residential units on the parcel.
I don't think it would be appropriate at this time to apply retroactive restrictions to what was done through a public procurement.
Right, but my question was, if we went back in time and it was the start of the process, would it be proper for the city to have stipulations when putting out the request for proposals?
The city would, be eligible on a fresh RFP to design a desired specs to any project or of a sale of property in the future. If there's only certain things that they wanted to foresee, that would be eligible for the city to design, only receiving responses that were consistent with certain objectives.
Thank you. I'll just have a brief comment here that the city has numerous other public properties that may or may not come up for bids in the future. That's all hypothetical. But I want us to keep in mind the precedent that we're setting this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions, comments from the council? Questions, comments from the public? Questions, comments from the public? Thank you. Moving on to item number two, bid 2023-109, design, build, and install a salt barn. This is found on page four. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening. Excuse me. Public Works is requesting to award to Iron Horse Structures, the design, build, and installation of a salt barn in the DPW yard in the amount of $226,000.
Thank you. And this was, as I upon the letter, this is using ARPA funds to ensure that any purchases we make are protected. And if we have a light snow when we purchase all the salt, we have a place to store it.
Yes.
For the following year. I believe it's my microphone. We have a place to store it for the following year. So this is an investment that'll pay off in the long run as
yes.
Salt costs go up. Thank you. Questions from the committee? Councilman Foley.
Has the city of Wolf ever had one of these
before? No, we haven't.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Christy, you reference in your position paper the possibility of potential losses because of the way this salt and sand is being stored now. Have we had any losses, say, in the past 5-6 years?
I'm sure we have. The pile sits in the yard. It's uncovered, so when we have any precipitation, it melts the salt. Excuse me. And then we do protect it with either salt bales, with hay bales or filter sock to stop it from eroding into like the catch basins. But it's not the perfect answer for us. If we had something to cover it, then we could certainly, it would close on both ends as well. So it would be beneficial to us to save product from year to year.
So I know that over the years, we've had some good years, we've had some bad years. The good years, we've used very little salt, and you've had a lot that you've had to store somewhere, right? So somebody's is protecting or having to protect this, however you try to do it the best that you can, and yet it's still not successful in some cases. In addition to that, I would expect that with this shelter that it would make it a lot easier for loading this material up, getting it out on the trucks, out to the roads, et cetera, without having to deal whatever it is that your customer is dealing with because it's not covered, right?
Right.
What's the square footage of this dome? I assume it's going to be like something you see off at 37.
Not quite that big. I don't remember the exact size. Is it 50?
Yeah, it's about 60 by 120.
60 by 120, 7,200 square feet?
Sounds right.
7,200 square feet. So it's about $300 a square foot to build it. Okay. Now, I think this is something that's good. I think it's good for the department. I think it's going to make things easier on what you guys have to do to get those streets prepared. I need to be able to put this computation together in my head to come up with a number that it all makes sense. Thank you.
Christy or Director, does this barn need any kind of maintenance over time?
We have to feed the horses, so no, I'm just kidding. nothing out of the ordinary. It's there's a warranty on it. I should have brought the bid specs with me.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't. But there is a warranty period. I believe it's a year. But the way it's going to be structured is, you know, it's kind of like a big canvas. So it doesn't require heat, doesn't require, you know, anything like that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Members of the public? Questions for members of the public? Thank you. Item 3 is bid 2023-117, purchase of bulk road salt, found on page 7. I know the president has some certain words about road salt being purchased in September, early September. Go ahead, Christy.
Public Works is requesting to award the bid for the purchase of road salt to Eastern Salt Company in the amount of $150,000 for a one-year period expiring October 28th, 2023.
Thank you. And wishful thinking, if we purchase $150,000 of road salt and we don't use it, now we'll have a place to store it.
Correct.
And therefore, we paid off half of it. We're already making our money back.
That's right.
Exactly. Are there any questions for members of the committee? Yeah, absolutely. Councilman Foley.
Just a quick question. That amount, not the dollar amount, the weight amount, is that our average first purchase in the season?
No, we purchase it as we go. So at the beginning, prior to the season, we'll probably order, I don't know, 300 ton. And then, you know, it gets mixed with some sand, and then we go from there. It depends on how much it snows, and then we just order accordingly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Christy, this is up to $150,000, right?
Correct.
Typically, that's how you bid it. I just need to correct a number. A minute ago, I said it was about $300 a square foot. It's actually $32 a square foot. So I had a decimal point in the wrong place. So that's not a bad number. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions for members of the public? Thank you all. The next item to be discussed is bid 2023-132, municipal police fire employees term life insurance. And that is found on page...
Excuse me, Chairman. Oh. I had another addition that's well over.
I'm sorry.
Does that need to be moved up?
Oh, you wanted to do that one next?
I just didn't know, wanted to be in that same.
Oh, okay.
Just to make sure we were, I mean, I have no problem waiting. I just wanted to make sure it didn't get missed. That's all.
I do have it on my note. I was going to do it right at the after the others. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So we'll go to bid 2023-132, municipal police and fire employees term life insurance. This is found on page 10. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. I'm Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director. The city provides $50,000 worth of term life insurance to all municipal employees and sworn police and fire staff. We put out a request for proposal. Those policies were held by two different companies with different expiration dates. About 16 months ago, I came to this body and requested that we extend the police and fire so that they would all expire at the same time and we could put them all out to bid at the same time, which we did do. We've selected Ox Insurance Company. They were the best bidder. They were the lowest bidder and met all of our other criteria. The overall cost per $1,000 of life insurance is in the bid is provides for the municipal employees about 11% savings. That's on the cost per $1,000 of insurance. And for the active police and fire, it's about a 12% savings on the cost per $1,000. So we're recommending the Ox Company. It's a three-year contract. It's flat for all 3 years. And the cost for the optional insurance for the employees who have an option, municipal employees have an option to purchase either $10,000 or $20,000. And firefighter retirees have optional life insurance that they can buy all at the cost themselves. The cost for employees is flat with the current rates for 3 years.
Thank you. And these rates, I did a little research on this. These rates also what a city invests in the safety and the rating, if you will, of a city's safety within their departments also affects the rates and the good rates that we get with these. That the insurance companies deliver.
I think so. I think that's the reason that the rates came down a little bit. We haven't had a lot of claims. There's also for the municipal employees is accidental death, AD&D, accidental death and dismemberment. Our record, thankfully, has been very good.
Right. Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Director, the insurance policy, particularly the life insurance policies, I know, in the private sector, they're oftentimes age rated. Are these policies just a flat rate for everyone, or are they age rated?
No, these are flat rate for all employees. There is one difference. For retired firefighters, they can purchase the $50,000. It automatically adjusts down to $25,000 when they reach age 70. Otherwise, though, for all of these, this is the same. It's the same rate. It's blended. It's a blended rate.
Why does it drop down?
I don't know. I think that was part of a contract negotiation years ago that you could purchase it at one rate up until age of 70, and then it comes down. Obviously, your risk goes up once you've reached 70.
Right.
So I think the city just didn't want it, or the rates are just better. I really don't have an explanation for that.
I'm curious with your choice for OCHS. Over here, and I think I have the answer, but I want to hear what your conclusion is. Municipal basic 50,000. So that's all the municipal workers, right?
Yes.
They're at 0.106 on the OCHS, on which is the lower number. But on police and fire, PGIA, they have a lower rate than OCHS by a reasonable amount. It's maybe 7% or so on police and fire, and then the firefighter retiree, it's less than OCHS. So why do you feel that OCHS is the better deal when you run these numbers?
There's more municipal employees, and I don't have my individual bids in front of me, but I, can you give me that number again on the?
Yeah, on the municipal basic 50K with accidental death and dismemberment, it's 0.106 per thousand, mm-hmm. which is, that's a good number, because on PGIA, they're 0.118. But on the municipal fire and firefighter retiree, police and fire and the firefighter retiree, PGIA is less. So I think the answer is municipal workers, if I remember correctly, is somewhere around 880 or so total municipal workers.
That seems about right, yes.
And between police and fire, we have about 400 total.
We have a lesser number for police and fire, goes about that rate. And also, when we did the calculation of the costs, the lion's share, 70% of it was, what's the cost to the city? So there was some better rates for the retirees, but they're completely out of pocket. We don't pay for them.
Right.
So when I was factoring in the cost value of this, I only looked at what's the cost to the city. Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is, and I just wanted to make sure I was on the right page with this, the answer is where OCHS is less on municipal, there's twice as many people, so you have twice the savings versus the increased cost on police and fire with 50% less is why OCHS ends up the better number.
They did, and they when I factored it all in, OCH was a much better price overall.
With the police and the municipal, when those employees, when they retire or they leave the city, do they have the option to continue that coverage if they so desire? I mean, to pay for it on their own, obviously. Kind of like the what's the plan I'm thinking of, where you leave employment, you can continue health care for 180 days or whatever it is. COBRA,
yeah. That's it.
Do they have that option?
No, that's what's interesting about this. The option ends for your optional insurance, except for the retired firefighters. Everyone else, it ends, and you have to go out and look for your own insurance, either universal life or term life insurance.
That might be, a nice benefit to add in the negotiations with the insurance companies in the future, where a retiree or someone that leaves the city would be able to continue the life insurance in the accidental death and dismemberment. That's a tough policy to get. And as you get older, it becomes more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a nice negotiation to have with these insurance companies in the future, you know, where our employees that do leave would be able to carry that forward and pay it on their own. Just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Questions for members of the public? Thank you.
Thanks.
The next item is bid 2023-037, General Engineering Services. This is found on page 14. Good evening.
Good evening. Terry DiPetrillo, Water Division Chief. Water Division went out to bid for engineering services for a two-year term for a total of $120,000. We received four bids. On the ranking system, Stantec Beta and WSP Incorporated. We selected the fourth H2O engineering, didn't meet the criteria of the bid specs. So we're looking at $60,000 per year for 2 years.
So I'm looking at this, and one of the winning bidded is WSP USA, mm-hmm. and it has an address of Valley Street in Providence, but on the bid sheet, it's Warwick Post Road, Warwick. Same company?
Correct.
Okay, that's just an outlet.
Satellite office.
Okay, right. Great. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you. Terry, do you have any engineers on staff in the water department now?
No, we don't.
And this two-year bid, so these two engineers, they will be totally independent contractors. We have no benefits on them, no payroll, overhead, et cetera, right?
That's correct. Maybe the three of them, Councilman, they're independent contractors, and what it is for engineering services, emergency services, something arises, services okay. where we can stop planning jobs, get shovel ready.
And what do we get for, all right, so let's take the three of them. So it's about 40,000 each. We'll just use that as a guideline. What do we get for $40,000? Do you have a set amount of hours that they will perform? Is this unlimited? Is it guided by how many projects they do, the extent of the projects? How do the taxpayers know what we can expect to receive from these engineering firms, either from 40,000 each or a total of 120,000? Do you have a scope of work that has been proposed to them, what you expect from each of these engineering firms for this money?
Yeah, so it's not to exceed the 120,000 per year, and this is an as-needed basis. So the point system in picking the three firms gives us negotiating power. So when a project does arise, we can go to these three firms and negotiate price between these three firms. Not saying any, so some of these firms might not get any work if their prices are not competitive. So it's as each project arises, we go to the three companies and they're going to negotiate the price with us.
Okay. Now I understand a little clearer. So this isn't something that, you know, it's based on an hourly service, or you're going to have a project, whatever. You're going to replace this water main, and you need to have, you know, engineering done. So you're going to reach out to the three firms and say, okay, give us a price for the engineering that's related to this.
Right.
And wherever you get the better number,
yes.
That's who you go with, and then it caps out as 120.
That's correct.
Good. I'm cool. That's cool. I'm all set. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public. Thank you. The next item is bid 2023-069, purchase for Ford Escape SE. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm here before you to seek permission to purchase four Escapes SEs, all-wheel drive, piggybacking the police bid of $25,908. The funding will be through ARPA. It's already been approved through the capital budget.
Thank you. And this is part of the administration's and the program that the city and the administration work through to kind of modernize our fleet and bring Warwick more into the 21st century, if you will.
Thank you.
And these cars, unlike the current cars, have no holes in the floors, right? These aren't the Flintstones. Okay.
I have to keep buying the inspector's new shoes.
Yeah. I always find it funny that when I see one of those old Ford automobiles pull up to do an inspection and it's like, you know, rusted and barely working. And then they go up and, you know, do an inspection on a business or whatever it may be, that you look at the vehicle they're showing up in and they're going to set a standard. That's always been kind of like a red flag. So I personally am happy to see that, you know, where the administration has taken these steps. Questions, comments from the committee? Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Good evening, Director. I concur with the chairman on that. I was given one of your employees, you know, I saw him in the neighborhood and I was like, it's a pretty nice car you got here. I think this was brand new when I was in high school. Do you have these, are they holding these cars for you? We're having trouble getting cars brought to you?
This will be part of the 2023 production. Yeah. So I'm before you tonight to get this going and with their production. So we'll receive them in 2023.
Because we need a long runway to get cars now, both new and used. Okay, I just wanted to get a timeline on that for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also want to just clarify one thing. When you and I spoke before this meeting, when we had our conversations, one of the items that you brought up was that you're, as you stated in your paper, the city made a mass purchase of these vehicles. So you were able to ride upon that purchase and get these vehicles at this price because we bought in so much bulk.
Correct.
And that was what was able to get it, which was a very good move and a smart time to do it. Thank you. Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you. I also believe that this is, first of all, it's long overdue. Your department has been driving around in vehicles that it's just so ironic, the condition of those vehicles, and you're going up to people's properties and citing them because their grass is too long, their paint's peeling, or whatever the case may be, and we're driving around in vehicles that belong in a junk pile. So kudos to you and the administration for doing this even better with the COVID money. And it particularly caught my eye on the number. I was talking with someone over the weekend, and they were out looking for a Ford truck. And this one dealer they went to said, yeah, the price is start at $3,500 over sticker. $3,500 over sticker. So this is long overdue. I'm really pleased for your department and your staff to, you know, finally be getting some vehicles that, you know, we can be proud of as well. So good job, and good job to the administration for spending some of that COVID money on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you for your support.
Yes, sir. Item, this next bid is bid 2023-118, Structural Firefighter Coats and Pants. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Is found on 31. I apologize. Good evening, Chief.
Fire department's recommending the award for structural firefighting coat and pants go to Fire Tech and Safety out of Winthrop, Maine. This is for an award not to exceed $99,400.
Thank you so much. And these are required turnout gear for our firefighters to perform their duties.
Correct.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks. Chief, I think, remember did we make a purchase with some grant money on these, or am I mistaking that with something else?
No, last award, this expired 6 months ago, but what we wound up doing a year ago was to extend the award 6 months and keep the current pricing. So we locked in the current pricing with the inflation and bought gear for the new class of recruits that was coming on, and which was a good move because this is 16% higher than it was 6 months ago. So.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Chief, you're going to be really, really surprised at this, but I don't have any questions for you on this item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Excellent. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next item is found on page 30. Is found on page 36. It is bid 2023-129, Traffic Street and Pole Light Maintenance and Repairs. Good evening, Christy. And then right after this, we'll address bid 2023-197.
Okay.
Thank you.
Public Works is requesting to order, award the bid for Traffic Street and Pole Light Maintenance and Repair to Arden Engineering in the amount of $50,000 for 1 year period ending October 24th, 2023. I just do want to point out that this is, the scope of work is a little bit more than it is typically. We are adding the street light maintenance into this contract that's budgeted out of the engineering budget. So it is expanded a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
We chatted about this one, but just because there's a process change on the street lights, so I think we acclimated to the current vendor where they have the call center and we go through them. So can you just, for everyone else's benefit, go through how that'll work in the new world should we approve this?
So I'm not sure if there's a time frame where we still have Prism or not, but when that ends with them, this vendor, it'll be funneled through the Department of Public Works office. Probably one of our engineering staff will be the one that fields the calls for streetlight issues and contacts the vendor and coordinates all that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. So, Christy, I know that there was a lot of time spent on hiring Prism and getting to the fancy lights, et cetera, et cetera. I know at least one spot in my ward, I'm still trying to get a light installed, and that has not happened as of yet. Now, Prism, obviously, is just going to be like around the corner, right where their contract is over.
I don't know about the Prism contract. That did not come from the Public Works Department. I believe it was done through planning, so we'll have to get the details from them. But when it reverts to Public Works, we have the contract in place.
So what happens to these hundreds and hundreds of lights that Prism has already installed? What happens with any warranties that we have for the product as well as the workmanship? And if it is installation failure that requires service, who's going to bear the cost for that? Is it Prism, or is it going to have to be paid for by the city, or is Arden Engineering going to be responsible for that?
Well, again, we'd have to get the terms of the contract from planning that is in place right now with Prism to see what they are. We don't have any of that information. When that ends, when Prism is done with fulfilling their contract with the city, this vendor will take over. But until we obviously won't have this vendor do any work if there's still a contract with Prism. But we just need to get the details of what that is.
So this says that the manner of the ward is from October 25th, 22. So that means the bid is expiring on October 25th, 2022?
The bid that we have in place right now that expires on October 24th, 2022 is 24. For streetlights. I'm sorry, not streetlights to a point. We have some traffic signals. We have crosswalks. We have lights at the ball fields. We have decorative lighting. That's what the one that is currently in place encompasses. This, we changed the specification when we went out to bid to include the streetlights. So when the time comes where we need to have our own vendor on board, we have the ability to do that.
So it's really two separate items then, the product that you're changing to and any prior installation services. That it's like two separate issues then.
Right, but we don't have the PRISM contract, so that we would need to get to see what the terms are.
Who does have the PRISM contract?
I believe planning has the contract.
Who has?
Planning.
Oh, okay, but the city has a contract.
Yes.
Okay.
It just didn't originate with Public Works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Councilman Lattisaw.
Sorry. Christy, on the hours, the hourly rate, the per hour and the overtime per hour, is that a result of the contract bid? In other words, Auden Engineering, their hourly rate is $95 per hour for journeymen, and their overtime rate is $118.75. PRISM is $116 hourly rate, and their overtime rate is $210. Is that something, those numbers, the overtime numbers, $210, $118.75, is that a rate that was generated by the bid? Or does that go along with everything else, like overtime, at least in my world, over 40
hours? So what you see in front of you, all these numbers, this is how the vendor submitted their bid.
Okay.
So each vendor submitted those numbers. It's just transferred by purchasing.
Got it.
For the bid minutes.
And, okay, so you just said it's been transferred from one document by purchasing to this document. Are we absolutely sure that the hourly rates that I'm looking at here are, in fact, the actual rates that will be charged?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Once again, any questions from the public? Questions from the public. Thank you. If I could ask members of the committee and the council to please refer to the last page of our bid package to bid number or item 21, bid number 2023-197. That is found on page 125. It is the purchase of a HG6000 horizontal grinder. Christy?
Public Works is requesting under a 56-6 through the Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing Agreement to purchase a horizontal grinder in the amount of $787,216.26. Currently, we do not have a grinder that functions. Our compost facility, our piles are very big, and we did have a company come in a couple of months ago and grind the piles down for us. But with the amount of material that's dropped off by residents, anything that is brought in on a yard waste truck, or we also accept East Greenwich's yard waste, we're running into a problem at the facility. Right now, we are permitted through DEM to maintain this facility. However, we are jeopardizing that permit, as well as the airport corporation will take issue with the size of the piles because we are in a flight path. And if we continue to haul material to the landfill, right now we have a cap, I believe it's about 1,900 ton, where we don't pay to deliver it. But once we exceed our cap, they will start charging us $25 a ton to bring the yard waste there. On the other side of that, the yard waste that we grind down and, you know, they work at the facility, we can sell it to vendors that come in, landscape companies, residents, we have wood chips. So there is a benefit on the other side of it as well.
Thank you. 100% ARPA?
Yes.
Funded? So again, something that the funding we received due to the pandemic that we're using to upserve our infrastructure and our utilities.
Yes.
Thank you. Committee, any questions from the committee? Councilman Gephardt.
Was this budgeted as an ARPA?
It was budgeted in fiscal year 24. However, we cannot wait until fiscal year 24. So we are going to put off one of the other items that was budgeted for this fiscal year.
Got it. And what was that other item?
It will likely be for round numbers, $800,000 of the additional paving that we were going to do. It's not likely that we'll get to spend the entire amount that was budgeted. So that would be carried over into next fiscal year.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hey, Christy. So I spoke to the mayor about this, and I think you did a great job of explaining, you know, the reasons why we need to make this purchase, the DEM, Airport Corporation, and, you know, paying for excess tonnage. We have to start going. And as you know, it's the fall, September, those leaves are going to start coming down, and we need some place to put all that for the city of Warwick. I know that the mayor actually looked at another unit, sent a couple of people to go check that out, and it was not right for the city. So he did not make that purchase and found this one, and they're saying that this is the right one for the city. So I think the administration has done a good job of looking at trying to tackle this, get it as soon as possible as the leaves are coming down. Yes. Soon enough. So. And we'll be picking up. So I think this is a very good use of those ARPA funds. Again, a big ticket purchase that, you know, we don't have to, you know, bond for or anything like that. So I think that is a good investment and part of what we're trying to do here as a council and as administration is to get this equipment, get them out, and, you know, have them serving the public. And that's what this does. So I support this, but I just wanted to give a little background on the discussions that I've had with the mayor about this, and I feel that this is a very good investment for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. And as you said, an important part, it directly serves the constituents. Councilman Gebhardt.
Yeah, I went back through the FY23 special budget. So this is the tub grinder, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So there was $800,000 budgeted in 24 for this, and it looks like we're going to spend about 30 grand less than that. So
yes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, this is an excellent purchase, especially with COVID money. But, Christy, what's the warranty that we're getting on this machine?
It is a, excuse me, it's a 5-year or 6,000 hours.
Okay. And that's what we're paying $11,640 for, right? $840.
The warranty is $80,000.
Sorry?
The warranty is $80,540.
From what I see here, 5-year, 6,000 hour cat
platinum. Oh, I'm sorry.
$11,840.
I was looking at the wrong line. Okay. Yes, you're right.
Right. We're going to get to the $80,000 in a minute. So. The base price of this machine is $752,376. We have $11,840 in a 5-year, 6,000-hour CAT Platinum warranty. And to your point on the warranty of $80,540, what is that $80,500? What is that warranty that's so $80,000?
That's the two warranties, actually, combined together. So if you look above the CAT Platinum one, there's a Confidence Plus Asset Protection Program for $68,700. So that along with the $11,000 is $80,000. But we're not purchasing that one. So as indicated by the numbers on the document number one, what we're asking for in dollars is item one, item two, and then item three, which is the freight and prep.
Right. Which brings us to another point. So the freight and prep for $23,000, what does that include? I mean, this place that we're getting it from is literally 36 miles from here. So what's the freight and prep? What are we getting for $23,000? What are they doing to this vehicle
that they're charging us $23,000 for?
We're purchasing it from the facility in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. The machine, so they have two machines. One of them is, they're identical. One of them is in Hopkinton, which is the one that the mechanics went and looked at. The one that we're purchasing that is brand new is in New York.
No, I understand the one from Hopkinton. It's 36 miles from here.
Right, but we're not purchasing that particular machine. We're getting a brand new one.
Oh, a brand new
one. In New York. It's in New York.
So to come from New York to here, it's $23,000 to get the machine here.
Correct. It's going to be an oversized load. You're going to have to get permits to go, you know, through Connecticut or Massachusetts or however they're going to bring it. So there's that. It's not something that you can drive, so you have to tow it. You know, so there's a significant amount of cost associated with it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the cost, transporting large items. I did one from Ferris, California to here, and I can assure you it was not $23,000. It just seemed like a crazy number. What's the prep work? What are they doing for prep?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm assuming it would be like a regular PDI, like a pre-delivery inspection. They go through it, make sure it's, you know, tip-top shape before they deliver it.
Okay. Christy, I'm still not clear. Why is there a separate line item for warranty for $80,000? And that actually, it's been, which is a good thing, you reduced it. You took it out of your ask of $787. What is the difference between the warranty add-on of $80,000 and the warranty that we're getting for $11,800?
So if you look at page 128 at the top, it says product details. There's a Confidence Plus Asset Protection Program, which helps you maintain expenses. Oh, that is $68,000.
Okay,
we're not purchasing that.
Got it. Okay. Got it. And why aren't you purchasing that?
It's $68,000. the warranty that we're purchasing is sufficient for us.
I know what the $68,000 is. It's actually almost $69,000. I understand that.
It's an optional program that's not necessary for us.
It's not going to benefit us?
No.
Okay.
Not for that kind of money.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Members of the public. Questions from members of the public. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, we are going to call on members of the committee, the council, and the public if there are any remaining items from the bid package that they would like to pull to discuss, starting with members of the council. I'm sorry, members of the committee. Do members of the committee have any items they wish to pull from the bid calendar to discuss? Councilman Gebhardt requests 2023-130, which is professional printing and mailing of recycling calendar. That is, pardon me. That is item number 13, and that is found on page 60.
Can you get the rest in there?
You want to go? You have more?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Are there any other members of the committee? All right. Any items from the council that they would like to pull to discuss?
Councilman Gebhardt stole mine. I must have been looking at my notes. Oh,
Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Number 17-2022-074, State of RI Tree Trimming and Shrub Removal. Page 73, please.
Thank you, Council President. Is there any further for you? Thank you. Any other items that would like to be pulled from the bid package from members of the public? Any items pulled from the bid package from members of the public? Hearing none, Councilman Gebhardt, we will go with you first. Item number 14, bid 2023-130, professional printing and mailing of recycled calendar. That is found on page 60. Councilman Gebhardt.
Well, Christy's been very helpful today. We've corresponded on this one. I was just shocked by the increase in cost on these calendars. It's like $12,000 or $13,000 over what we budgeted for this fiscal year for the calendars, and significantly over last year. Christy did send me the breakdown on the postage because we thought maybe that was a big contributor to it, which I didn't get the chance to double check that in the bid. Since I got that information, I just was like, I had a little bit of sticker shock on the calendars. You can keep mine.
So did I.
If that helps. I know everyone loves the calendars. Anyways, just felt it's worth just keeping an eye on because the cost is growing.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Councilman.